Right now, we speak to Gushwell Brook, who's a communications coordinator. In relation to the 16 days of activism, firstly, has the patriarchal system contributed to the violence on women and children? Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to your listeners as well.
So
I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can. It's loud and clear. It's absolutely crystal clear. It's lovely to be speaking Brilliant. To you again. So do you think that the patriarchal system has contributed to the violence on men and children, women and children?
Well, I think we need to understand what we mean by a patriarchal system. Mm. And I think the most important aspect to understand there is that it's a society or it's a system where men are in charge of most of the important institutions, and that doesn't just mean through government. I mean, we're talking business, we're talking civil society, the religious community. In other words, men tend to be in charge of all of those institutions. They set the rules, and they also then in turn basically dictate how everyone else needs to be conducting themselves, including women. And also, I think we can't move away from the fact that, you know, apart from the physical power that men then have over women, there's also all kinds of other forms of power, whether it be economic, whether it be traditional, whether it be, you know, from a religious perspective as well. So unfortunately, yes, I think that that disproportionate power, and that women are born into a society where they have less power, unfortunately has left a society where we raise our boys and men to believe that they own women, number one, and number two, that they're better or that they're stronger, that they're smarter, and all of those other things. And those attitudes bleed through to a lot of the violence and a lot of the other nonsense that we see within our society.
Would it change if we raised our sons to take on the role of protectors and benefactors?
And well, I think that's part of the problem, because
really?
Then the question is, why does he have to be a benefactor? Why can't he understand that we need to live in a society where men and women should have equal economic opportunities? So I don't have to, you know, basically look after someone as if she's a minor, and thereby create a situation whereby I can even dictate how money should be spent and why money should be spent in a particular way. And apart from that, I think our society also really needs to change its narrative, because the key question is, why do we need protectors? Why can't we live in a safer, non-violent environment where no one needs to protect anybody from anything? Okay. We can just simply be equal, and that no man has a right, no matter what circumstances, no matter what the situation is, but no one has the right, as an example, to abuse or to attack or to do something malicious to another human being.
Yeah, I'm coming from a different point of view. You know, yesterday we were talking about, you know, if a man asks a woman out, should he pay the bill on the first date? Overwhelmingly, our listeners said yes. And I think part of that reason is not because he's expecting anything. It is because it's a nuance. It's an unwritten understanding. I will pay for your meal because this is just one indicator of how I will look after you.
But that's the point exactly.
And
unfortunately,
you're saying that that's wrong,
you know,
that men shouldn't do that?
Look, that for me is between the couple or the people who are going to go out. And you know, I don't necessarily think that it should become a societal norm, because once it becomes a societal norm, as you said, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that the guy is expecting anything from the woman. But at the same time, we know we live in a society, for example, where I've recently seen a tweet where someone had expressed the opinion that if someone is having drinks and he puts his hand on her thigh, then she should know she's not been drinking for free.
Oh my gosh. And
unfortunately, that is the society that we live in, whereby chivalry becomes a mask for patriarchy, because, you know, this is how I'd be able to look after you. And that goes back to my earlier point. Why does anyone have to look after anyone? If you're living in a truly equal society where men and women are given equal opportunity, then you can have a joint household income, as opposed to the idea that one is to be a benefactor for the other one.
And we should look after each other, surely, isn't it?
You know, we're going to have this man that will sacrifice everything for someone in exchange for love. What you will all too often find is that someone is dominating and is able to pull the purse strings and say that, listen, I'm the boss, this is how we spend the money, and this is how I'd like to spend the money. If I want to go drinking with my buddies this weekend, I do so, whether we have enough groceries in the house or not.
So interesting. You've obviously been exposed to a lot of these cases in terms of the South African Human Rights Councils. And so your perspective is so very different to mine. I think you and I need to have a cup of coffee.
I'm just wondering, maybe share these
things with me, because I mean, it's talking about a world that I'm completely unaware of.
Look, unfortunately, and sorry if I'm cutting anyone off, but
no.
I just wanted to say that, look, it's a broadly societal thing, and it's not necessarily just the work that I've done at the commission, because we do not do as many matters around gender as, say, our sister Chapter 9 institution, the Commission for Gender Equality would do. But at the same time, you know, in the work that I've done through civil society, obviously here as a Chapter 9 institution, through the media as well, you know, you come across really warped notions of men and what they believe and, you know, the way they see the world. That does not mean that every single man is an overt sexist or patriarch and that he just wants to dominate women. But I think that we need to look at society and the way that we interact with these things, and what people's actual lived experiences are, and then try to formulate a society that caters for the needs where women are truly liberated and free, as opposed to the society where, unfortunately, as you well know, we have two very serious incidents in the news at the moment.
Correct.
You know, one young woman stabbed 52 times and raped, and then another one stabbed 25 times. And satellite raped and was able to identify her assailant just before she died. You know, that for me means that there is a serious problem in this country, and that it's not too far off when women say that men are at war with them. Because I mean, under what other circumstances can one justify or understand those types of actions?
Yeah. 100%. That is unfortunately where we have to leave it today. Thank you so much. This definitely, I said this last time, it won't be the last time we speak to you. And next time it would be lovely to have you in studio talking to us, and maybe we can even do a coffee in between.
Okay, great.
Wish you all the best. God bless. Yes. Take care. Bye-bye. That's Agashwal Brook, who is a communications coordinator at the South African Human Rights Commission.